So, a new kind of militia arrived, if you will. These were the fighting pastors that the British called the Black Regiment. They had much zeal for independence and freedom. There's one story that stands out, an episode that may have surpassed all the rest. It was early in June of 1780, in support of a British advance, they had crossed from Staten Island to New Jersey with about 5,000 men, led by General Hussein General Wilhelm von Kuppenhausen. It was at this little village of Springfield, and he encountered unexpected resistance and was forced to withdraw. The British had to withdraw. Unfortunately, in the course of this action, the wife of the Reverend James Caldwell, she was a mother of 9 children. She was shot in her home and killed while her husband was away. Well, they also burned Reverend Caldwell's home to the ground. This incident inflamed the townspeople. When Kuppenhausen's force returned 2 weeks later, and even though at this time he was reinforced by British General Clinton himself, they were stopped again. This time in furious action. At the height of this shooting, the Patriots, taking cover behind a fence that was adjacent to Reverend Caldwell's church, they ran out of paper wadding. This is needed to hold the powder and the ball in place in their muskets. But the Reverend, he gathered up all the copies of Watts psalms and hymns that he could carry, right from the pews of the church. He came out with the paper from the psalm books, and he rushed out to the riflemen that were crouching behind the wall and the fence. Tearing the pages out of the hymns, he passed them out shouting, "Put Watts into them, boys. Give them Watts." That episode surpasses all the rest. In terms of the Black Regiment, pastors fighting for independence.
Today's my coming out day. Yeah, I'm coming out of the closet today. I mean, everybody else is coming out of the closet. Today, I'm coming out of the closet. I'm here to tell you this morning, I am a member of the Black Robe Regiment. For real. Now you're starting to shake. First there was a smile, now you're thinking, uh-oh. There really is a Black Robe Regiment, for real. You can check it out. Google it. This was a group of pastors during the Revolutionary War who were fearless in their pulpits. They preached against tyranny and against immorality and injustice. These were pastors who addressed the issues of the day from their pulpit and were feared. There's actually a group throughout the United States now. Pastors are really joining the Black Robe Regiment. I joined. I'm not sure whether they're going to be wearing black robes, but I am. And I'm going to be wearing a black robe because I want to be a part of something that brings about righteousness again in this country. We are on such a dangerous path right now that if something doesn't happen, in a blink of an eye, we are going to lose everything this country ever represented. And I tell you now, it starts with the preachers and the pastors and the church. And I'm going to be a part of it. I'm not going to stand by being quiet and fearful of offending somebody. Here's what I say. Wickedness needs to fear us. Does it fear you? Or are you Mr. or Mrs. Timid? They feared these guys. They feared them. They went after them. Today I just want to take a few minutes because this is 4th of July weekend. Everybody's celebrating our independence. This is the remembrance of the 4th of July. The declaration was signed on the 4th of July, and the colonists said, we are no longer under British tyranny, and this started the Revolutionary War because England said, oh, we don't accept that declaration, and we're going to prove it to you, and so the battle ensued. But I want to talk this morning about the influence of churches and pastors during the Revolutionary War. And then just take a minute and say, what does the Bible say to us today about being an influence in our community? Does it have anything to say? I can tell you it does. It truly does. You saw on the video some of the history of the pastors, and this one guy, James Caldwell, he's just become one of my heroes. Pastor James Caldwell was commemorated by that painting. If you've never seen it, you saw it in the video, but it's a painting called Give 'Em Watts, Boys, because he had the audacity to get involved in the Revolutionary War. This guy was so feared by the British, they had him on a hit list. And they killed his wife and they killed his children. They burnt his church down. They burnt his house down. But he didn't quit. And that story is a historical fact. The battle rages on. The British are advancing. The militia is running out of wadding. He runs into the church, grabs Watts' hymnal. Now, just so you get a feel for this, the Watts hymnal would have been equivalent to like the Holy Bible. In those days, that was a very, very holy book. He runs out of the church, like in the picture, holding the Watts hymnals, and he's handing them out to the Patriots, and he's yelling them, give them Watts, boys, rip the book up and use it for wadding. It so inspired the Patriots, they drove the British back. A short time later, the British surrendered at Yorktown. This was a strategic battle. He died as a result. He died a short time after. Many stories of preachers and pastors who served in the Revolutionary Army as officers and as chaplains and inspiring speakers to tell their people, get involved. There's a famous story about Peter Muhlenberg, Pastor Peter Muhlenberg, Lutheran pastor. James Caldwell was a Presbyterian pastor. Muhlenberg, at the beginning of the war, there was a shortage of men. The Revolutionary Army only had like militia, and so General Washington recruits Muhlenberg to help him recruit men. And so Muhlenberg is preaching in his church, his Lutheran church, and he's preaching out of the book of Ecclesiastes. It's chapter 3 where it talks about there's a time for everything. It's a great chapter. You know, there's a time to be born. There's a time to die. There's a time to plant. There's a time to sow. There's a time to laugh. There's a time to cry. He gets to verse 8. Verse 8 says, there's a time for war and there's a time for peace. And he stops and he looks at his congregation. He said, brothers, it's a time for war. Pulls off his robe. He's wearing a Revolutionary soldier's outfit. He was a colonel in the army. He marches down the center of the aisle. This is in church. Marches down the center of the aisle. The drums start beating. He recruits in 30 minutes almost 200 men for the army. They just start signing up. He died as a result of this. These men were fearless. And most of us have no idea about the impact that Christianity and churches and pastors had on the winning of our freedom. It's just disappeared. We don't hear about it. Instead, we're told that it just happened and there really was no Christian influence whatsoever, when in fact, if you do any serious research, you're going to find the incredible impact that Christianity had on this country and the founding of this country. So what does the Bible say, though, about us getting involved today? Because the way it happened back then is they got involved. They attended meetings. They spoke out. They wrote leaflets. They marched. They protested. They enlisted in the army. They got involved. Should we do that today? Or should we be quiet? Young people, should you not speak up about your Christian faith in school because it's not allowed? I mean, this is what we're being told, right? It's against the rules. Well, what does the Bible say? Well, open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 5. There's a passage in there. I think Jesus addressed it back then. I don't think anything changed. Matthew chapter 5. You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? For nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. You are the light of the world, a city set on a hill that cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand. It gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify God. I mean, what is Jesus saying here? We're the salt of the earth. You know, this is a declarative statement. What that means is he's saying, you are. You are. Like, when you open your heart to Jesus and you receive the Holy Spirit, at that minute, you are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. He didn't say, someday you'll become the salt of the earth. I hope someday you grow into becoming the light of the world. I hope someday you may attain to that level. He said, you are. You are. You are right now the salt of the earth, the light of the world. If you have God's Holy Spirit inside of you, you are. The only choice you have is, are you going to act like it? Are you going to act like the salt and the light? Now, this has to speak to more than just saying, I'm going to tell people about Jesus. He used the metaphor salt and light. I mean, this, you know, these are not randomly picked. Salt. What's the deal with salt? Well, it's a preservative. It prohibits bacterial growth. When they, you know, put it on meat and stuff, it prevents the bacterial growth. It brings out the flavor, the true flavor of food. I mean, what's the analogy there? Well, we're the salt. We are the salt. We are supposed to prevent the bacteria of sin from just destroying our culture. We're supposed to bring out the flavor of what life really is. That's what salt does. We are the salt. And Jesus said, you're the light. What's the deal about the light? Well, the light drives darkness out. I mean, if you're in a dark room and you light just a little pen light, it lights up the whole room. But I think light was a metaphor for we have been enlightened. We have spiritual truth. We know God. We know the truth. We know what is right. We know what is wrong. We are the light. We're to dispense the light. Brothers and sisters, this means way more than passing out tracts and telling people about Jesus. This is about influencing our culture. This is about preserving our culture from rampant, rotten decay. You think about this term, the Black Robe Regiment. I'll tell you, we have a black robe oppressing government right now. We've got these Supreme Court justices who wear black robes and pass down decisions which are so ungodly. They're going to answer to Almighty God for this stuff. I mean, just this week, they overthrow a Texas law which mandated if you are an abortion doctor, you have to be a legitimate doctor who has rights to practice in a hospital. How oppressive is that? What the law mandated is that butchers could not be running abortion clinics. You be a real doctor, and if something happens, you can admit your patient to the hospital. Well, our judges threw that out. We want back alley abortions. We don't care, really. Our president hands down another edict. I mean, it's out of control. This week, he told the U.S. military, you have to start accepting transgenders. Transgenders. I mean, all of a sudden, this is the new topic. And the definition of, his definition of transgenders now is not someone who has had an operation change. Now the definition of transgenders is anyone who wants to identify with the opposite gender. I mean, this is insanity. This is craziness. There's a time to hold back, but there's a time to say, hey, we have got to do something. This is crazy. I'm listening to the news the other day, lady talking about the shooting down in Orlando. She keeps referring to the LGBTI community. Did I hear that right? LGBTI? And then she says it about five times. Finally, one of the news reporters says, excuse me, what's the I? Oh, that's for intersex. What the heck is intersex? Oh, it's part female, part male. I mean, what the heck is going on here? This is insanity. Well, why? Why is it happening? Well, is it possible that we don't really believe we are the salt and we don't really believe we are the light? We're not acting like it. I mean, what's happened? What's happened to the church? Where's the people of courage and conviction? Where's the voice in our community? Well, I can tell you it's been silenced. I mean, it truly has been. It's been intimidated. We have been driven into fearful living. I think probably in the church today, if we were to ask Christians what's the most grievous sin you could ever commit, at the very top would be something like fear of offending somebody. Fear of offending somebody. How about putting it at the top? How about fear of offending Almighty God for being quiet, for not speaking up when we should? What about that? Fear of offending somebody. You're going to offend people if you uphold righteousness. You just have to prepare yourself. This is part of life. This is what Christianity is about. We have pulpits that are so weak right now. It drives me crazy. I talk to pastors. You guys ever talk about social issues of the day? You ever talk about abortion, homosexuality, taxation, gun control? No, never. Never. You know, do you realize, think about this. The first battle of the Revolutionary War was over gun control. Am I right? You know your history. What was going on? They were marching to Lexington to take the weapons from the militia. It was a gun control issue. Folks, does the Bible have anything to say about gun control and self-defense? Yes, it does. Does the Bible have anything to say about transgender identity? Yes, it does. Does the Bible have anything to say about homosexuality, divorce, taxation, illegal immigration, abortion? I mean, everything we're dealing with, we have instruction in God's Word. First of all, we've got to become familiar with it. Have to read it. But listen, folks, even if you don't have the time to read it, this is what a church is for, and this is what your pastoral staff is for. If you need help, we will help you. I'll give you the material. Deuteronomy 22 talks about God's despising the transgender identity thing. It's evil. It's an abomination. Oh, I don't want to hurt somebody's feelings. I don't want to hurt your feelings, but if I don't tell you the truth, I mean, come on. What do we need today? What do we need today? We need a lot. We need the help of God is what we need, but I'm just going to finish up with two scriptures for you. First one is found in Peter. 1 Peter 3:15. Sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. Always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that's in you with meekness and fear. What's Peter saying? Be ready, be armed, be equipped, be informed. Can you answer? Can you say something? Well, this is talking about conviction. You have to know in your heart, first of all, what's right and wrong. If you don't know that, your ability to help transform our environment, to be the influence we're supposed to be, is not going to happen. But the conviction has to give birth to speaking out. Be ready to answer. We need to participate in the public debate. Call in on the radio shows. When people are talking about it in the lunchroom, go and get involved. Call people, write letters. Be ready to answer. This, again, is talking about more than just I want to tell you why I'm a follower of Jesus. Yes, that's implied, but there's more to being a follower of Jesus. It's to be the light and the salt of the earth. It's to advance the kingdom of God. Jesus said in the Lord's Prayer, pray like this: Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Jesus said, pray like that. Well, why would he say pray like that if he didn't care about the kingdom of God coming? If the kingdom of God's coming anyway, don't waste your time. But the kingdom of God is not coming. The kingdom of darkness is coming. It's raining. It's striking fear in people. We're being intimidated into silence. You know, you're hearing the mantra, you know, separation of church and state. I mean, come on. Do your homework on this. This is just foolishness. Separation of church and state has nothing to do with the U.S. Constitution. I know that may be a shock to some of you, but the First Amendment, which is what that's supposed to refer to, is the exact opposite. It says Congress shall be prohibited from forming a religion or prohibited from stopping us from practicing our faith. That's what it says. They cannot form a religion and they can't hinder us from practicing our faith. From there we get, you can't pray in the public schools. You can't carry your Bible. You can't express your faith. You can't have a nativity set. That's not what it says. That separation of church and state comes from a letter Thomas Jefferson wrote. Read it. He was talking about to the church he wrote that letter to. He was promising them, listen, the government will not oppress you. There is a wall separating the church and state. The government will not oppress you. That was to tell them the government will stay out of the church. Not to say the church cannot go into the public place. Look at all the early church fathers. I mean, these guys, what's the first thing the first president of our country did when he swore into office? What did he put his hand on? The Holy Bible. Oh, excuse me, Mr. George Washington, you're supposed to separate church and state. You know the first thing he did after he was done? He bent down and kissed the book, and then they had a two-hour church service in Congress. Oh, but the separation, they just said we're not going to form a church, a government church. They were referring to the government church of England, like England formed a church and said you must be a member. But they said in America, we're not going to do that. You're free. Express your religion freely. Congress, the early fathers started their Congress sessions in prayer. I mean, scriptures abound everywhere. The first 11 of the 13 colonies said you must be a Christian to even hold office, political office. I mean, anybody who says there's no Christian foundation to this country has just not done their homework. We need conviction. We need to know what's right and wrong. We need to be able to speak up and be involved. This, you know what, folks, this is different than having an opinion. A conviction is not an opinion. In other words, everybody's got an opinion. And some of them are too free to share their opinions. You know, like, I got you. A conviction is something deep in your heart. I think it comes from an inner witness, but the problem is sometimes our inner witness gets confused, you know, from your upbringing and social influence. And so the real conviction comes from when you have scripture and scripture opens up to you and you begin to realize, this is right. This is right. I mean, it becomes who you are. That's a conviction. It's you. not something mom and dad told me. It's not something I read in the newspaper. It's me. It's me. That's a conviction. It becomes you. Peter said, you need to be ready to give an answer. Be prepared. Speak up. The second scripture I'll close with this is found in Timothy. We need people with courage. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. So listen, so I'm not concerned about, and I shouldn't be concerned about you being abrasive and hateful. And, you know, they always kind of throw that out. You're being mean spirit. Look, we move in love. But striking fear and wickedness is biblical. And we need to understand. I'm not sure, but I kind of wonder if there's actually a spirit of fear, a real spirit of fear. You know, the scriptures name spirits, you know, spirits of infirmity. I think there's spirits of drugs and alcohol. I think there's spirits of sexual immorality. I think there's spirits. I think that's their identity. I think there's a spirit of fear that has permeated the Christian church, and we've got people in the pews and churches everywhere so timid, so fearful. I can't wish anybody Merry Christmas. I don't want to offend anybody. Like, what? Come out of him, you spirit of, that's ridiculous. No, we've not been given the spirit of fear, but a power, a love, a sound mind. We have the ability to think straight because we have God's word in us. We speak the truth. I mean, think about this. Jesus said, you are the light, you are the salt. You know what I think is interesting about that? He called himself the light. Jesus said, I am the light. Whoa. He's apparently transferring something here, saying, oh, by the way, now you're the light. You represent the kingdom. So in summary, this country has strong Christian roots, and we're losing it rapidly. And I just encourage you, find a place to be a voice. You know, get involved in the political arena. Run for office. Be sure you're registered to vote. Get on committees. Go to meetings. Be informed. If that's not your area, how about if you're a businessman? Every business has business associations. There's committees that run these things. Why can't we be the salt and light there? Get on that association committee. Influence it. Influence where the money goes for that committee. What about if you're a mom or a dad and you've got young children? How about getting involved in the schools, Board of Education? How about PTO, PTA? Listen, if we're not doing it, who's going to do it? Who's going to do it? People that don't follow the kingdom of God, people that are not the salt and the light. We're the salt and the light. I say we find a place. We find a place. So let's finish up with this. If you're a child of God, say this with me. I am the salt. I am the light. Just yell it. I am! Oh, man, I am. Let's stand up. Woo! Come on. Come on. Let's pray. Let's pray that God would awaken his church and this country, and the Holy Spirit would move, and God's people would find their voice. Be the salt. Be the light. God, I thank you that you have enlightened us. I thank you that you have imparted your Holy Spirit in us. God, I thank you that we are growing up in a country that has such strong Christian roots. God, we're sorry for the mistakes our country has made, the evils that have been allowed in our country, and the evil of slavery and oppression, God. We're sorry for that. God, we're asking that there would be an awakening, though, God, of righteousness. We pray, God, you put your hand on this spread of immorality that is just a plague of bacteria that is just rampant. And I pray, God, you begin to enlighten each one of us here. What part can we play? Where can we be an influence? How can we use the truth that we are the salt and the light? Open our eyes, God. You said we are the salt and the light. Help us to walk in that revelation. Help us to do it with love, God. with meekness and humility, but God, with conviction and courage, God. Help our country, God. As we celebrate our independence this week, remind us of what a heritage we have received. Help us to regain it. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's have our ushers come forward. We'll take our offering. Man, that just right there. I'm not a slave of fear, man. Amen. So we have our prayer team up front here. So, you know, just praying about what does God want to do? Maybe something special in some of your hearts. I just got this kind of, so maybe here's how I'll say it. Look, today is my coming out day. All right? I'm coming out, man. I'm telling you, I'm part of the Black Robe Regiment. But I really feel like there's some of you need to come out today. Like there's some of you that are in the business world or employees at work or students in school or in your community, your neighborhood, whatever. People don't even know you're a Christian. It's time to come out, folks. I mean, seriously, get out of the closet, man. Let's be the salt and light. So I just want to put that out there. If you feel like God's speaking to you about, yeah, it's time to move. It's time to move. It's time. It's time. There's a time for everything. This is the time. Also, I just felt like God was planting in some of you like the birth of an idea. Where can you fit in? Everybody has different gifts and talents, and so maybe there's something God's birthing in your heart. If you'd like some prayer, like let the Holy Spirit kind of breathe on it, blow on it. So if you have other needs this morning, just things God's dealing with, you'd like some prayer, we're going to close with a song. We invite you to come forward and get some personal prayer ministry.
What can make me whole? this concludes our service this morning. We thank everyone for coming out. We look forward to seeing you again next week. Have a blessed week until we see each other again.